Okay, good morning. The weekly shiur from Maseches Moed Katan is dedicated by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. And the weekly breakfast, as always, is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Liloi Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zeev. We're doing Moed Katan Daf Chaf Gimel. We're going to start three lines from the bottom on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. And as we know from other Gemaras, some of the halachos of Avelos apply not only to family members, but also to Chacham Shemes, Nasi, we'll see other community leaders. Sometimes the community is Noeg Avelos, or the Talmidim are Noeg Avelos as well. So that's the case here where the Mishnah or the Brisa says, Tana Rabbanan, Chacham Shemes, Beis Midrasho Batel. When a Talmud Chacham passes away, his Beis Midrash, his yeshiva, goes dark. They stop learning there. Av Bezdin Shemes Kol Batei Midrashos Shabiro Batelim. And when the Av Bezdin of a city passes away, so all the yeshivas, all the Batei Midrashos in that city will stop or will close. V'nichnasim l'beis ha'kneses, and you go to shul, u'mishananis makomen, everyone should change their places. Hayoshvim b'tzafon, yoshvim b'darom. Vayoshvim b'darom, yoshvim b'tzafon. If your seat is normally in the north, move to the south. If your seat's normally in the south, move to the north. And then it says, Nasi Shemes, Bate Midrashos, Kulan Betelen, all of the Bate Midrashos shut down. Ubnei HaKnesses, Nichnasim LeBeis HaKnesses. So Shul is generally shut down, but people go to Beis HaKnesses, Vikorin Shiva, on the days where you read from the Sefer Torah. Then you read from the Sefer Torah v'yotzin, and you leave. So the way Rashi understands this is that we're talking about, if you look at the top Rashi, v'korin shiva b'sefer Torah, de'in mispalum yachad beis haknesses. They close the shuls. No one davens b'tzibur in the beis haknesses. El kolecha v'echad mispal b'beis. Everyone should just daven at home, and you just come to shul for leaning, because that's where the Sefer Torah are. You just come to shul for laning, and that's it. You go home. It's a very, it's not at all what we do nowadays. So,
Korin Shiva is Shabbos?
So, there's a machlokes Rishonim, and the way Rashi doesn't distinguish between Shabbos and the other days. Other Rishonim talk about whether, does this mean that only on the day where you read seven aliyos, namely Shabbos, do you do this? Or do you do it on Monday, Thursday also when you come? So the Rishonim all kind of chime in on to what extent you go to shul, which extent you don't go to shul. But Rashi doesn't seem to distinguish. So maybe he means, maybe Korin Shiva is just an example. And anytime there's laning, you go to shul for laning, and then you just go home and you daven. The Ritva holds that you daven together with a minyan, but you do it in the Shiva house, or you do it in an individual home. So you just don't come together in shul. Rashi seems to say that Echad Mispal Bebeso. Everyone just davens b'yichidos. And that's how you do it.
When was this an effect? Or when did this cease?
I don't know. Clearly this is not our minig nowadays. I don't know the history of it.
I think when a love passes away, and I've seen pictures, especially on Rebbe's, they bring the body
That's for the levaya. There's a halacha is that if a community leader passed away, then you might have a levaya in the shul, whereas normally you wouldn't have it in the shul.
All right, so you're saying once they take the body and they bury, then
This is really during the Avelos period. This is really during the Avelos. There is also a machlokes rishon as to how long some of these restrictions last. If you look on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis, we had talked about the Abezdin Shemes, everything shuts down, the base measure shuts down, the shul shut down. So the Ritva again says this applies all Shiva. This applies to the entire Shiva, whereas a lot of other Rishonim say this just applies to the first day. Yikar Avelos is Yom Echad, and that's when it's going to apply. Okay. Then Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha points out in a cautionary way that when we say that everyone stays home and doesn't go to shul, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Lo shiyochu v'yutaylu b'shuk el yoshvim v'domin. Don't take this as license to go on, whitewater rafting trips. This means that you're not supposed to go to shul, but you're supposed to stay home and reflect upon the mace. It doesn't mean it's vacation time. And then he says, or then the Gemara says, "Vein omrim shmua va'agada bebeisa avel." You don't give divrei Torah in the beisa avel as part of the shivra, as part of the shiva. However, amru alav al Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel shaya omer shmua va'agada bebeisa avel. So he had a differing practice, and he would darshan or he would learn Torah barabim in the beisa avel. I actually, in preparing for this year, listened to Rabbi Rosner's Daf Yomi shir. So he had a whole bunch of interesting things. He pointed out that the Rav held that, I mean, our practice normally in a Beis Avil is Bishvim and Chamarav, a lot of times they'll open up a Mishnah and learn Mishnayos. They'll learn Torah. The Rav held, presumably based on this Gemara, that you shouldn't do that. That you shouldn't learn any Torah in a Beis Avil. And the Ron points out that the reason why you wouldn't learn Torah in a Beis Avil is that it distracts from what you should be focusing on in the Beis Avil. In the Beis Avil, you should be focusing on the mace and not learning Torah. But at least in this Gemara, we see those two differing views, those two differing practices are reflected even among the Amoraim there. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Avel Shabbos Rishona Eino Yotze Mi Pesach Beiso. So the first, now again here too, there's a lot of, the Rishonim all depart all sorts of ways here. The Rishonim also argue about whether this is now talking about the first Shabbos or the first week. A lot of times the Gemara says Shabbos Rishonim, it's referring to the week. Let's assume for a moment we're talking about the week. So Tana Rabbanan, Avel Shabbos Rishona, the first week of his Avelus, Eino Yotze Mi Pesach Beiso. He shouldn't leave his house. Shnia, the second week, Yotze Veino Yoshev Bimakomo. And the Bach says, Veino Medaber. So he leaves his house. He'll go to shul as normal during the second week of his Avelus, but he won't engage in conversation in shul. He shouldn't talk in shul anyway, but I guess even when they're not davening, he shouldn't engage in conversation.
We have the first week, though, usually, if you Shabbos, you go to shul.
That you go to shul, that's right. Yeah, right.
Let's talk about that.
That's right, yeah. So I guess that might turn on whether you understand this Shabbos to referring to the week or the Shabbos in particular. If you say that Shabbos refers literally to Shabbos, so then this doesn't reflect our minhag. Maybe you could say that Shabbos Rishon, as according to some Rishonim, or as some Rishonim learn, means the first week, and then Shabbos is the exception. Shabbos itself is the exception. That's when that first week ends or is suspended. Fine. Right, the reason we do that is because we view not going, if you were not to go to shul on Shabbos, that would be a neog avelus befarhesia. And the rule for Shabbos is that it's only devarim shebitzina that you're noeg, and not devarim shebefarhesia. Fine. So the second week, you go to shul, you don't sit in your place, you don't talk. Shlishis, the third week, yoshev b'makoma, there you could already go to shul, veino medaber, you don't talk. According to the Bach, he had put the deino medaber in the second week. Revius, and then the fourth week already, this is now as Shloshim is coming to an end, Revius Hario Kachol Adam, you're just like anyone else, you can converse with everyone in public, etc. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hutzrichu Omer Shabbos Rishona Lo Yitzim Pesach Beiso, Rabbi Yehuda says, you didn't have to point out that you have to stay home that first week, Sharia Kol Nichnasim Lo Beiso Lenachamo. That's the whole idea, right? The whole idea of Shiva is that people are going to come to your house to visit you. Ella, so he shifts everything over by a week. So he says, right, the first week, that's Shiva. Everyone's coming to visit you. Obviously, you're at home. And then what this Bryce is going on to say is further than that, Shnia, in the second week, you don't leave your house. Shlishis, Yotze, Veino Yoshev, Bimakomo. And the Bach points out that the Imin Daber, you go to Shul, you don't sit in your place, you don't talk. Revius, then the fourth week, Yoshev b'makomo veinu medaber, you can go to shul, you sit in your place, you, again, the Bach moves that, but according to the Girsa, we have veinu medaber, and Chamishis, the fifth week, Kareyu k'chol adam, that's already after Shloshim is ended, and that's when all these Nihugim are going to be suspended. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis learn, Kol Shloshim yom l'nisuin. So for the first 30 days of your Avelus, for Shloshim, you cannot get married. Rashi says, Ad Shloshim yom achar Avelo eino yachol isa isha, you cannot get married. Mesa ishto, where you're sitting shiver, where you're being noeg Avelus for your own wife, so then even more than that, Asr isa isha acheres ad shiavro lov shlosha regalim. So there you have to wait a full a cycle of three regalim, three yamim tovim, Pesach, Shavuot Sukkos, in order to remarry if you are being Noeg Avelos for your wife. The Tosfos points out why that might be. If you look at the second Tosfos, Achiavru Shlosha Regalim, Ashiya Shlosha Regalim Belo Simcha, Velo Yishkach Avas Ishto. You want Tosfos, at least in the first opinion of Tosfos, we want to kind of retain the memory of your wife at least for three Regalim. We don't want you to forget her that quickly. And then Tosfos shifts and says, Inami, or maybe Kadesh Yisa Isha Acheres, Voye Zachar Min Arishona. The other flip side is to say that we kind of want to wait three regalim before you marry so that you kind of don't have your first wife, your previous wife, on your mind, and your wife, ve'od, and then he throws in, ve'od penyas kirenu avas ishto kantra. It might be awkward, it might create strife if you still kind of have a fresh memory of your first wife, when you're already with your second wife. So we wait for this. We put this buffer period in place in order for three regalim to pass before you marry.
That's how we paskin.
We paskin that way. You have to wait three regalim to remarry. Rabbi Yehuda Omer regal rishon visheni aser shlishi mutter. You only have to wait two regalim. But you could already do it. You could already be remarried for your third regal. I mentioned that I listened to Rabbi Rosner Shir, so he fascinatingly quotes a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer mentions a shaila that had been brought to his father-in-law. The Chassam Sofer's father-in-law was Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger was asked the following question. A woman died during Chol HaMoed on Pesach 1 year, and now the husband wanted to remarry before Pesach of the next year, and it was a leap year. So there was a full 13 months in between, but there wasn't the full passage of three regalim. So was he able to do this? Was he able to remarry on Erev Pesach, or you know, before Pesach, on the, I guess, you know, a full 12 and more months after the passage of his first wife, but not a full three regalim afterwards. And so Chassam Sofer says that he can remarry, and he says, first of all, it's already been 12 months. So, you know, maybe the passage of three regalim is in a normal year, but when you have a leap year, there's an extra month there, so that gives you extra buffer. He also points out that this woman was already sick from before Pesach, so they already hadn't been together and they hadn't been carrying on normal marital relations for three regalim, for what that's worth. He also says maybe, look, she passed away in the middle of Yontif during Chol HaMoed, so maybe the last days of Pesach count as a regal. And then, for good measure, he throws in, and maybe you could even count Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Purim and Chanukah and all the other holidays that were there. So you for sure have three regalim. But the bottom line is, he said that this man could remarry before the third holiday, before Pesach started.
Is this after the thing that says you shouldn't have more than one wife?
That you shouldn't have more than one wife at one time, at the same time, you're saying.
So he has another wife. If I was alive, he could have married her.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Well, I guess the idea is that you shouldn't marry a new wife. Meaning, this is we're not talking about the polygamy issue. We're talking about the Nihog Aveilos issue. So it's kind of a simcha element of bringing on a new wife. So we're saying, you know, give it a little time, buddy. Wait, three regalim till you start with the new wedding and new celebrations. Yeah, and the answer to your question is this is, you know, this is the Gemara talking. So this is before Rabbeinu Gershom outlawed polygamy. I mean, the Amoraim already talk about how the fact that might not be a great idea to have more than one wife, but practically speaking, there was no ban on polygamy at the time.
If someone's wife, Chashom, or husband would die today, and tomorrow they both remarry, it would be chal, the marriage, right? That's not the shaykh.
It would be chal, yeah. This question is just whether it's appropriate. Right, yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on. However, there are some exceptions to this rule. If you don't have any kids, so then mutter lisa alter mishum bitol pur viravid. Then you can marry. There's no restriction at all. There's no buffer period at all. You can marry a new wife right away because you have a mitzvah of puri viravia that is in play, and you need to be kind of a mitzvah, so you could marry a new wife right away. Let's say you're a man's wife passed away, but you have little kids in the house, and you don't know how to make school lunches. So then mutter lisa la'alter mipnei parnasasan. So then you could marry right away because someone's got to take care of the kids. Mipnei parnasasan probably means literally you have to go to work and someone's got to watch the kids. But same idea. And then the Gemara brings a story. Ma'isa shemesa ishto sho Yosef ha-Kohen. So Yosef ha-Kohen's wife died. V'amar la'achosa bebeis ha-Kfaros. Right there at the Levaya, he turned to her sister and said, in a very romantic way, L'chi uparnasiyas b'nei achoscha. Come, let's raise your sister's kids. And that's what he did. So they basically got engaged at the Levaya. He was Ma'aris her right away. He waited to consummate the marriage for some time. What does that mean, some time? He waited at least till Shloshim ended in order to have relations with her. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kol Shloshim Yom Ugeyutz, Echad Kelim Chadashim, Echad Kelim Yeshanim. So you have to wait 30 days before you iron clothing, meaning during Shloshim, you're not supposed to iron clothing, whether it be old clothing, whether it be new clothing, you shouldn't iron clothing. Yotzin, I'm sorry, Bein Kohen Chadashim, Yotzin Mi, what's the gimel there? Yotzin Mitachas HaMichpash. Michpash is the press. So whether it's new clothes, whether it's old clothes that are coming out of the press, you shouldn't press, you shouldn't iron your clothing during Shloshim. Rebbe Omer Lo Astru Al Kohen Chadashim. So Rebbe's a little more makel, and he says the only prohibition was to press or to iron new clothing, Bilvad. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he's even more makel, and he says, "He Omer lo astru okel chadashim levenim bilvad." So only new clothes that are also white are you not allowed to iron during Shloshim. And then the Gemara tells us that Abaye nafik begarda desarbula karebi. So Abaye went out with an old white garment, so he was following the shita of Rebbe that it was only new clothing that's a problem. So during his Shloshim, he went out wearing old clothing. Rava nafik b'chimutzta romisa sumkasa chadasi. He went out with a new red Roman cloak, a new red Roman kind of garment, and he was following the more mekel shita Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who said that it was only if it's white clothing does this prohibition apply. If you look at the very bottom Tosfos, you'll see it says Rava nafik, meaning the most mekel shita, who perish betosos da abai v'rava halacha kabrava, we pass on like rava, v'imkein mutter lulbosh kelim meguhatsim svuun afil chadashim ha'ishanim afil levenim. You could wear basically anything. V'chein pasak revenu chananel. Meaning that this whole prohibition doesn't really apply very much at all. Well, he says afil levenim, right? Afil levenim. That seems to be even more makel than all the shitas in the Gemara. Fine. Okay. The Gemara now says, Mipnei she'amru Shabbos olaveinim b'kas posekes. So we're quoting the Mishnah, where we said that Shabbos, as we all know, when you're counting Shiva, right, for that first week of Shiva, Shabbos counts as part of the Shiva. You don't tack on an extra day. Shabbos counts as part of the seven. But we aren't no way getting the of Ninihugim of Avelos. B'nei Yehudu, B'nei Galila, Hani Amri, Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos, Vani Amri in Avelos B'Shabbos. So there's a machlokas between the people in Yehuda and the people in Galil. Some said, or one side said, that there is Avelos on Shabbos, and one said that there's no such thing as Avelos on Shabbos at all. Tosfos explains at the top, Tosfos, that the man d'amar that says Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos, that there is something called Avelos on Shabbos, specifically that's B'Dvarim Shabbat Sinah. No one holds that you don't go to shul, and that you sit shiva, and that you wear ripped clothing, etc., that you do everything public on Shabbos. No one holds that. The only question is Dvarim Shabbat Sinah, private matters. The quintessential private matter that's relevant for Neil Gavelos is Tashma Shamita, is marital relations, but there are other private matters as well. And so that's what the argument is here, whether there's Avelos on Shabbos or not. So Mandi Amar Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos, the side that held that there is such a thing as Avelos b'Shabbos, that we are noeg dvar mishabitzinim on Shabbos. So how did they derive that? Dekatani ola, because it says in the Mishnah that Shabbos counts. So if there's not Avelos, why should it count? So therefore it said that's why they say that it does count. Mandiyam ra'in Avelos b'Shabbos, and the side that said there's no such thing as Avelos on Shabbos, Dekatani eina mafsekas, because the Mishnah said that Shabbos doesn't interrupt. So Isa kadaitach yesh avelos b'Shabbos. And if you held that there is such a thing as a new avelos on Shabbos, so then hashta avelos naga afsuke mibay. Why would the Mishnah have to tell you that Shabbos doesn't interrupt the count? Not only does it not interrupt the count, that's completely understating the issue. It counts. So it must be the fact that the Mishnah highlights the fact that it doesn't stop the count, that they derive from there that it means that that's all it does, and therefore there's no such thing as Avelos on Shabbos. The Gemara then says, Ve'elaha katani ola. How do you explain the fact the Mishnah says that it does count, right? It does count as a day. So the answer, Aydi dekabai lemisna seifa einan olin, because the rest of the Mishnah is going to talk about Yomim Tovim, which don't count, and so therefore, just to be consistent, it threw in that Shabbos is Ola, that Shabbos does count. But it's not to derive from there that there is Nihuge Avelos on Shabbos. I did the Kabbalah Mishnah Seifa, you know, in Tana Reisha Ola. So therefore, the Reisha, when it comes to Shabbos, said Ola. Laman di Amar Yesha Avelos b'Shabbos. So the camp that held that there is Avelos on Shabbos, that we are knowing, they knew who gave Avelos on Shabbos, Hakatani Eina Mafsekes. Why did the Mishnah say Eina Mafsekes? That seems to be completely understating the issue. Eina Mafsekes, what do you mean? There's Avelos. So they answer, Mishum de Kabayu Mishnah Seifa Mafsikin, because the rest of the Mishnah is going to talk in other contexts of Yom Tovim, etc., that it's Mafsik. So it just to be consistent, it threw in that description with respect to Shabbos. So therefore, Tana Reisha Eina Mafsekes. Fine. Now the Gemara proposes that this machlokas of whether or not there is Avelos on Shabbos, perhaps that tracks an existing machlokas Tanaim, and we could overlay this machlokas on that machlokas. Lema ketanai. Let's say, why don't we propose that this machlokas between the Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Galil is identical to a machlokas Tanaim we already know about. Misha meso mutal afanav. So someone who has not yet buried his dead, he's in the presence of the dead body. So what happens? Ochel bebayis acher. Preferably, he should move to a different house and eat, carry on his life, but not eat right in front of the mace. That's not respectful to the mace. Emo bayis acher. Let's say you don't have another house. So then ochel bebayis chaveru. So then go visit your friend's house. Emo bayis chaveru. Let's say there's just no houses around. So then oso a mechitza asar tfachim. So then you should at least make a mechitza of at least 10 tfachim, separating you and the body. And then you could eat. Ingo dover lasas mechitza. Let's say you live in a very sparse house and there's literally nothing that can separate you from the dead body. So there machzir panav v'ochel. Just turn your face and eat. Don't eat literally, you know, right over the dead body. Veno mesa v'ochel. You shouldn't relax, you know, kind of lean back. You should stand sitting up. Veno ochel basar. You shouldn't eat meat. Veino shosa yain, you shouldn't drink wine. Vein mevarech, you should not bench, right? Because you're an onain. The halach of an onain is osek with the mace. He's busy preparing. He doesn't have, so basically all mitzvahs asay are suspended for him. He doesn't bench, or he doesn't make a bracha. Vein mezamein, don't join in a zimun. Vein mevarech in alav, they don't include you in a zimun. Vein mezamein in alav, they don't include. Eim mevarech in alav, I guess, means other people aren't yotzei you in the bracha. Eim mezamein in alav, they don't include you in the zimun. Upater mikriya shema, you're pater from all mitzvahs to say. So you don't say kriya shema. Umina tefila, you skip tefila. Umina tefillin, and you don't wear tefillin. Umikol mitzvos hamuris b'torah. Not only that, but all mitzvos, I say, the onain is exempt from. Because again, he's focused on the dead person and taking care of the needs of the dead. Ubishabis. However, the rule is ein aninus b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, none of this applies, and therefore mesa v'ochel, you can relax and eat. V'ochel basar v'shos yain, eat meat, you drink wine. umavareich, and you say brachos umezamin. You include yourself in a zimun umavarchin umezamin halav. They include you. V'chayev b'kriya shema. You say shema ubetfila. You daven ubetfilin. Interestingly, we're talking about Shabbos here. What's tefillin doing here? Mm-hmm. So the girsa that Rabbi Akiva Eger brings from the Rif leaves out the word tefillin here. Uvachol mitzvos amuris b'Torah, and you otherwise participate in all mitzvos in the Torah. There's no reason why you shouldn't participate in mitzvos on Shabbos. Meaning the ein aninus b'Shabbos, and so the rules of aninus don't apply on Shabbos.
How did tefillin get in here?
I don't know how tefillin got in there. It could be just to keep it parallel, like keeping up on the theme of the prior Gemara, that we were talking about weekday, and so then we mentioned tefillin. So then, for some reason, Shabbos, just to keep it parallel, they said, "Look, you're chayiv in all the mitzvahs at three. You're this and this and this and tefillin, etc." They did a copy and paste. Exactly. They did a copy and paste. But the riff pulls out tefillin. The Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the riff. Fine. Good. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Mitoch shenischayiv be'elu nischayiv bekulon." So Rabbi Gamliel says that once you're chayev in all these mitzvos, you're in chayev in all mitzvos. So what's Rabbi Gamliel adding? Rabbi Yochanan explains tashmish hamita ika beinayu. What Rabbi Gamliel is adding is tashmish hamita, meaning a davar shebitzina, right? That's what he's saying. So meaning the Tanakhama says that you're chayev in all the mitzvos as an onain. Rabbi Gamliel says not only chayav in mitzvos, but also there's no restriction on tashmish shemitah. So that's the way Rabbi Yochanan understands this. The Gemara says, "My lav b'hakim miflege." Presumably, this is what they're arguing about. Demar savar yesh avelos b'shabbos, umar savar ein avelos b'shabbos. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel throws in tashmish shemitah, meaning throws in a davar shebitzina, seems to indicate that he says ein avelos b'shabbos, right? He's the more meko, and the Tanakhama says yesh avelos b'shabbos. So the Gemara immediately rejects that and says, as we can understand, there's a difference between aninus and avelos, right? So mimai, the Gemara says, dilma ad kan lo kamar tanakama hasam el mishum demeso mutal fanav. Maybe the Tanakama only restricts tashmish shamita because you're in a more chamer situation because the dead body is right there, and therefore it's inappropriate to engage in that behavior. Meaning, again, there's a fundamental difference between... But in the situation of an avel, de'in meso mutal afanav lo. Maybe an avel is more mekil, and therefore you, right? Because the meso is not mutal afanav. V'ad kan lo kam Rabban Gamliel hasam, and maybe Rabban Gamliel only is more machmir there in that situation. Hasam dakati lochal avelos alei, because he hasn't, he's not in the category of an avel. Aval hacha dechal avelos alei hachinami. Maybe all bets are off, and Rabban Gamliel wouldn't hold that. You are suspended from tashmish shemitah even on Shabbos in a situation of avelos. So in other words, you can't compare the situations just because we have a braisa that seems to say. Some Tanaim hold that Tashmish Shemitah is Mutter on Shabbos, and some hold Tashmish Shemitah is Asar on Shabbos, that should apply to Avelos. That's just a different situation where Meso Mutter Ofanav, or where you're talking about Aninos, than the situation with respect to Shabbos. I'll just throw in one more thing that, again, Rai Rosner pointed out. He quoted a Pisklei Tshuva, which asks the following question. An Onain, we know, doesn't make brachos, so he doesn't bench. What if you have a meal as an onain, and then there's the levaya, you become an avel, and you still are satiated from the food, so in theory you should be able to bench. Do you bench on the meal that you ate as an onain? Right?
How long is it?
Seems like hefsek. Right.
It seems like a hefsek, but let's say it's not. Let's say you literally had the meal. You had a bagel in the car on the way to the levaya. The car is still there, and is the via goes quickly and you still feel satiated, right? We usually say it's as long as it's not misachal b'mayayin, that as long as it's not digested, you still bench. So this is probably not what you're primarily thinking of at the time. But what if you realize, oh, I didn't bench. Now I should bench. I didn't bench. So the Pesach Shuvah quotes Achronim would go both ways on this. Hmm. He pointed out the same thing would apply with Asher Yatzer, let's say. And Asher Yatzer is a little different because Asher Yatzer, I think the halacha of Asher Yatzer is if you forget to say Asher Yatzer, you have to use the restroom. You have until the next time you use the restroom to say Asher Yatzer. There's no, you know, so it could be 3 hours later. Do you say Asher Yatzer after the I guess this would apply probably to anyone. After the Kvura, in theory, you would say Asher Yatzer because you've probably used the restroom since the death. So I don't know what our minhag is.
An onin wouldn't say Asher Yatzer.
Well, is that an onin doesn't say Asher Yatzer?
He doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say brachos. Yeah, he doesn't say brachos. So apparently the Pesach Shuvah quotes Deos both ways. I'm not sure which way we pass it. So. Okay.
Shkach.
Yeah. Short talk.